I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And finally, Bob, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are basically at the halfway point of the NFL season. The Steelers in a great position. At 6-2. If the season ended today, they'd be division winners. Of course, they played a different number of games than the Ravens and haven't played them yet. I'm just saying. And they would be playing, I believe, the Chargers at home. I think the Steelers are going to be the fifth seed. And I think the fifth seed in the AFC is going to wind up in Houston playing the Texans. And I think that's a game that the Steelers could win.
Could be, but it's very dangerous with a guy like C.J. Stroud. And if they're healthy, Nico Collins has to be back. They lost Stephon Diggs already, but they have enough depth down there where I think that could be a problem against that team. Their defense is also very opportunistic. It would be a very good game. I'm hoping the Steelers can somehow move themselves in a position to get a home playoff game because I want to see what they do given the history over the last 6 years of when they've played at home in playoff games. It's not been good.
All right, then let's go over some halfway point markers here. Some awards, some statements, some opinions, limits. You ready to go out on a limb here?
I'll go on a limb with you.
Who's the best team in the NFL right now?
Detroit.
Give some credence to that opinion, Bob. Back it up.
Back it up?
Yes.
All you have to do is watch them play. They got probably the best 1-2 run punch in the game. They've got a quarterback who I think should be right up there at the top with MVP consideration. They got very capable wide receivers with a stud tight end, and their defense, even without Aiden Hutchinson, has been terrific enough, especially for a team that's going to score 30 points a game. Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Limits, best team in the NFL?
You know, Kansas City is the first team that obviously pops into your mind because I think we're trained at this point to just think Kansas City with back-to-back Super Bowls and still undefeated, but I agree with Bob. I mean, Detroit's ability to overcome the Aiden Hutchinson injury, I thought maybe it would be a week and then it would wear off, but their defense is playing very well. Another good performance yesterday against Green Bay. They beat up Jordan Love. I think Detroit right now, I mean, I picked them to win the Super Bowl for a reason. I'm sticking by it.
Let's not go too far here, gentlemen. Their ability to overcome Aiden Hutchinson's injury, they've beaten Dallas, Minnesota is a good win, but they gave up 29 points in that game. Tennessee and Green Bay is a pretty good win.
Two of those teams are really good teams in their own division.
I guess. I don't know.
Why are you reluctant to say that? Because they are.
Is Minnesota a really good team?
I think so.
You think so?
I do.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I've got to see a lot more from Minnesota before I buy into that opinion, Bob.
Their defense is as good as many defenses in the NFL. I mean, I think Brian Flores is putting himself in a position to be a head coach again.
I guess, but the previous two games before last night, they gave up 61 points.
Yeah, but some of those were late in games when they didn't matter. It just depends on
your cup of tea. I'll acknowledge Detroit. Detroit is a very good team. That's obvious. I mean, they're a very good team. But neither one of you, if Detroit played Kansas City in the Super Bowl tomorrow, would put everything you own on Detroit. It would be the opposite.
Austin already did. He has them winning the whole thing.
Yeah, but I had them beating Cincinnati, and that looks great right now.
Kansas City's the best team in the NFL. They have a great defense.
They know how to win.
They're a consistent defense, mm-hmm. which I won't say about Detroit or anybody else. Kansas City's given up 20 to the Ravens, I might add. Only 20. 25, 17, 10, 13, 18, and 20. They're an unbelievable defense right now. And they have Patrick Mahomes. So that combination, great defense and a quarterback who I don't care what his stats are. If you have a game that's on the line right now, he's the guy I'm choosing. I think they're the best team in the NFL. And did I mention that they're 7-0, Bob?
No, I know. They know how to win. There's no question about that. But I think they've been somewhat sloppy in how they've taken care of business, but they're good enough to do that because they know how to win.
Are they the most talented team?
No.
Probably not. Maybe Detroit is. Maybe Baltimore is.
Baltimore offensively.
Maybe Philly.
Baltimore has too many problems defensively.
Maybe, who knows? You could pick probably three or four teams that you might think are more talented than Kansas City, but they're the best team. So we disagree on that one. You two have Detroit. I have Kansas City. Who's the biggest surprise in the league so far? In the whole league? Is it Washington?
Yeah, that would have to be the easy choice because they have been. And Dan Quinn should be the coach of the year based on simply where they were and where they are.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't say Washington, but in terms of like a negative direction, I'll go with New Orleans starting 2-0, and they've lost every game since they fired their coach today. That's just a complete and utter disaster. It seems like everywhere Derek Carr goes. How about this stat? Dennis Allen is the first coach to be fired by two different teams with the same quarterback as his starter. Derek Carr in Vegas, Derek Carr in New Orleans.
I saw Bob. I went into the lavatory. He was already in there earlier when we had a quick discussion on Dennis Allen's career winning percentage. Remember that, Bob?
Yes.
You thought it was at 425.
425.
I thought 225. It's about 320. He might be the worst coach in NFL history 5 or more years. Can you look that up on Pro Football Reference, please, Limits?
5 or more years.
Yeah. Just look up all-time coaching records in the NFL. He may be the worst coach who's ever lived, Bob.
Well, I think you'll find a few probably below that.
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, did he get 5 full in? You're right about that one. You are right about that one. Hugh Jackson, Bob. He was 1-31 in Cleveland.
Other than that, brutal.
Other than that, he was fantastic there.
He's second. In 4 years, Hugh Jackson is second with a 205 winning percentage.
I said 5 years.
I know. Burt Bell is the most losingest coach, if that's a word. A 179 winning percentage.
And he lasted 5 years somehow?
Burt Bell lasted 6 years with the Philadelphia Eagles from 1936 to 1941 with the Steagles.
He was 0-2 with the Steelers.
Yeah.
1941, Ron covered that team, Bob. So tell me the worst coaching records of all time, if you would, Wonder Twin.
Yes, other than our friend Burt Bell, it was Hugh Jackson with 4 years in Cleveland. Steve Spagnuolo.
Oh, my God, Bob. Steve Spagnuolo was 11-41.
I know that, but he's still so good at what he does.
He is.
And that was with St. Louis and the Giants.
He's the perfect example of somebody who was, it was almost like, and I say this, not that he's as bad of, but when Dick LeBeau became a head coach. Dick LeBeau was a better defensive coordinator and a Hall of Famer in that role. I think Spagnuolo's the same thing.
But I also think that sometimes these guys are victims of their circumstances. You know I mean?
Like
that just becomes, and I've said it myself, like, oh, they're just better. They were made to be coordinators. Well, if Dick LeBeau was hired to a team that had a really good young franchise quarterback, I think he's smart enough where he would have had a really good offensive coordinator and might have won in the NFL. He was the head coach with the Bengals, for God's sakes. Nobody was going to succeed there. And Steve Spagnuolo had two horrendous runs, or maybe one, with horrendous teams. Plus, he only coached 4 years. Like, I'm pretty sure that Steve Spagnuolo could run a really good NFL team. And so could Dick LeBeau.
I don't dispute that. But again, you're asking for records.
Yeah. No, I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying in general.
I mean, some guys are better in that role, though. They really are.
Yeah. There's no doubt. But again, I think if Dick LeBeau, you know, if Dick LeBeau had come to the Steelers in Ben's rookie year, I bet you Dick LeBeau would have had a hell of an NFL career.
Oh, there's no question. Dick LeBeau was an outstanding and still remains somebody very smart about how games should be played, how to win games, both offensively and defensively. He has a lot of good takes on it. The problem is when you're in a situation where you don't have a lot at your disposal, like Luke Getsy, you know, we talk about him. Okay, you're going to blame him? You don't have a quarterback out there. They
Right.
use three different things. Desmond Ridder was called in from the bullpen. He's been not good. They traded away your best player. What is he supposed to do offensively with that group? Other than Brock Bowers, there's nobody on that team that you'd want.
Right. So bottom line with Dennis Allen, he is the 8th worst record of all time for coaches who have gone 5 years for more. He's down there with David Shula, Pat Shermer, Joe Bugle.
What's Josh McDaniels overall? I'm just curious. As a head coach.
I don't think, oh, here it is.
377 win percentage, 20-33.
He looks like Don Shula compared to Dennis Allen. All right, Bob. The biggest surprise for me, I'm going to disagree with both of you. I don't think it is Washington. I'll get to the bad surprise in a minute. I think it's the Arizona Cardinals leading the NFC West with a 5-4 record. And I'll tell you the difference between those two teams is Washington, and I give them tons of credit. I think they're a pretty good team. Has beaten, well, they beat Arizona. That just blows my argument out of the water. They beat them 42-14. But their other wins are Giants, Cleveland, Carolina, Chicago, the Giants again, and Cincy at the beginning of the year. I don't think they've played a great schedule. I'm stunned that the Cardinals are 5-4 in first place. They've beaten the Rams, the Niners, the Chargers at Miami. They just killed Chicago. And they lost a game they should have won in Buffalo. I can't believe that the Cardinals are doing this well, Bob.
I really can't either. But I think that says a lot about what they've been able to do. And what I look at now is a semi-weak division, which is fine. They have to take care of business there. I just 5-4. I like 7-2 better with a team that I don't think anyone thought in Washington would be where they are. Not just among the top of their division, but a potential threat in the playoffs. And the way Jaden Daniels is playing, man, the guy's not anything but poised in there. He's unflappable. He knows how to make smart plays. For a rookie to do that and navigate games, even when he doesn't pass for a lot of yards, Joe, he has been really good at just making things happen for his team.
Yeah, for sure. That kid is just electric.
Would you say that Dan Quinn's your coach of the year?
Yes. Dan Quinn and the guy in Arizona whose name I keep forgetting. I wrote it down this morning. Either one of you know off the top of your head?
Jonathan Gannon.
Very good. He's done an unbelievable job with that team, I think. Who's the biggest disappointment in the NFL, Bob? He says the Saints. Limit says the Saints.
I don't know if I'd put them there. I would have to say Cleveland. I thought Cleveland was going to be as bad, but I didn't think they were going to be this bad. I just thought their defense would be able to keep them in some games. Deshaun Watson, we all knew what he was. But, man, they've been just putrid bad.
For me, it's unquestionably the Jacksonville Jaguars at 2-7. I thought they were going to bounce back this year.
After they gave that big contract to Trevor Lawrence.
And Doug Peterson. And they won a playoff game 2 years ago. They almost came back last year and got in the playoffs on the last week or so. And now they've just sunk to, this is Urban Meyer stuff. They've gone back to the Meyer plan.
The thing about quarterbacks, though, if you think you have one, regardless of what, you know, lack of success you may see in their postseason or no postseason history to judge it on, you need to sign them. Because if you don't, you may lose them. If you lose them, you got to start all over. It's a tough process. So I understood why they wanted to sign him. I expected him to be far better than what he's been, though.
Man, are they a disaster. And there's other disappointing teams around the league, no doubt. The Jets at 3-6. If you pick them, I would say yes. The Bengals at 4-5. They've been a mega disappointment. I thought they were going to win this division. It's not out of the question if they get really hot, but I thought they were going to be good. The Cowboys at 3-5.
Dallas at 3-5, that's... Well, I mean, it depends on what you thought of the Cowboys coming into the season.
Not, I mean, they've won 12 games 3 years in a row.
McCarthy being the first coach fired, so I didn't think much of them.
And the Niners at 4-4 would be the other one as a disappointment. But, I mean, they've been absolutely ravaged by injuries. I still expect them to win that division.
So they have to make a tough choice at the end of the year, and that is, what do you do with Brock Purdy?
Sign him.
For the same reason I saw with, you know, guys like Herbert or Trevor Lawrence, all of them.
Yeah.
If you have someone that you believe can take you to where you need to do, you have to sign him. Even if he's not having the best of years that he's had. It's almost like Daniel Jones when he got not that I'm putting him in the same classification because I'm not, but $145 million for a quarterback. It's not $300, $250, $260, it's not that, but it is a lot. Baker Mayfield type of money. Baker Mayfield made what? $100 million over 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is.
Bob, I feel sorry for Daniel Jones, and I like him. Did you see a touchdown he had yesterday? We just put his head down and went. Yeah. To have him, I'd love to have him as a backup. I can tell you that. but it just never panned out for him. All right, MVP. Who's the MVP of the league?
I'm going to say Jared Goff. Closely behind is Lamar Jackson, but that could change, obviously.
Limits?
You ready for this hot take?
No.
The MVP of the NFL season is the one and only Joshua Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
That's not a bad take, Bob, considering the weapons or lack thereof in Buffalo. What a wonderful take by our friend City Limits.
No, I think he's definitely in the conversation the way they're going. Big win for him yesterday. Knew it was going to be tough against Miami, but man.
17 touchdowns, 2 picks.
And he's got a lot.
His team is 6-2.
They just got Von Miller back too, so that'll help their defense, and Amari Cooper will help their offense, even though he didn't play yesterday.
But I can't pick against Lamar. 20 touchdowns, 2 picks, leads the league in passer rating, and then on top of that, he's on pace to rush for 1,000 yards. This is crazy stuff, Bob.
He's better than he's been in his 2 MVP seasons.
Now what are you going to do?
We'll see. There's still more games to be played, but he's... You know what I'm saying about Goff, though? Just how
he's been great.
Terrific for
he's
that
up there.
Team and what he has done. The fact that he has more touchdowns
he's up there.
Than incompletions in his last 6 games is just, you don't see those kinds of stats.
I know. He's been really good, and he's in that conversation. If the Bengals start to win a little more, so is Joe Burrow. And then two guys. Here's my top 5 MVP. Are you ready for this, Twin Cities?
Let's hear it.
Lamar Jackson, 1. Josh Allen, 2. Saquon Barkley, 3. Derrick Henry, 4. Jared Goff, 5. Saquon Barkley, does he lead the league in yards from scrimmage? Can you look that up, Limits?
I don't know about that. I think Derrick Henry leads in rushing yards.
In rushing.
But I don't know how
yards
much he's
from
been
scrimmage?
Used in the pass game. I don't
he's
know.
He's caught a couple. He caught a touchdown recently.
It might be him.
I think Derrick Henry and Saquon deserve to be in this conversation. Do you?
Yes, they deserve to be in the conversation, but they won't win the award because it typically goes to quarterbacks who do well.
Barkley is 2nd behind Henry.
In yards from scrimmage?
In yards per scrimmage by about 70 yards.
Total?
Total.
But guess what, little Limits? He's played 1 fewer game.
That's correct.
Thank you, Bob. I rest my case.
Thank you, Counselor. We'll see you at the end of the year.
Well, the question isn't who's going to win it or what the voters do. It's who should.
Again, I think it's Jared Goff. I've watched enough of his games to know how wonderful he's been about pass completions, not throwing. Yeah, he's had some interceptions, but in the last 6 games, and they've been red hot during those 6 games, he's been, to me, the reason.
What's the biggest story in the NFL so far?
The Washington Commanders.
Okay, yeah.
Wouldn't you say so? Did you think they were going to be
7-2? I think they're
the
biggest surprise. I think the biggest story is the Deshaun Watson debacle in Cleveland. To me, is the biggest story in the league this
unless
year.
You thought that was going to be different. I didn't. I think it was going to be a debacle year for him anyway. I never liked that signing, and I never thought he showed anything previous, you know, that he had in Houston.
I'm talking any story. Could be involve an owner, could be off the field. What is the single biggest story in the NFL? You say Washington. I say the Cleveland disaster and the fact that he's now hurt and out for the year with an Achilles. I think that's the biggest story in the league. What say you, Limitless Wonder?
I think Watson is definitely one of the main things to look at in terms of the biggest story. Still, I mean, he has been for the last couple of years, but that in Washington. I mean, look at the story that Rappaport, or I think it was Schefter, put out the other day that for the first time in a long time, players want to be traded at the trade deadline to Washington. Like, if they're asking to be traded, they want to go to Washington.
I think the Jets are a gigantic story
and
as
the
well.
Jets.
They fired their coach. They might be the biggest story
they might
in the
be,
league.
Given their expectations, but I think what makes the Washington story so intriguing to me is that Daniel Snyder has to sit and watch this after he had his hands on their demise for all these years.
Oh.
And so 1 year removed, all of a sudden you sold the team and you're 7-2. All the right moves have been made. And he's watching.
Is that amazing or what? That guy has to watch all of this. And I like that. And you know what else I'll say? Is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a pretty big story.
They're getting
NFL
in that direction.
Year.
And I think, again, the second half.
The Russell Wilson thing. They're a big story.
They are. But the reason I'm waiting for that to even flourish more is because I think we all knew this first half of the season is something that could be, designed to give them some leeway in the second half. In other words, build up a nice win-loss record against teams you should beat, and then see what happens in the second half. So the second half will dictate, and they may end up being the story of the year. If they end up somehow being you know, an AFC championship caliber team, then that is the biggest story of the year.
Here's what I would say, and I think we were talking with Hokie about this last week. I can't remember if I talked with you about this, Bob. If the Steelers just split every couple of games, put it into two-game segments the rest of the year, Washington, Baltimore, win one. Cleveland, Cincy, win one. Cleveland, Philly, take one. Baltimore, Kansas City, take one. They'll have 7, 8, 9, 10 wins going into the season finale against the Bengals.
Yeah, that's realistic.
I think that's great. And then you win that game, you're an 11-win team. Mm-hmm. This schedule is going to get brutal. What they haven't faced is a ton of good quarterbacks. They simply haven't. You know, they did. It's a fact that they got Kirk Cousins in his first game back.
Absolutely.
Good for them that they hammered him. That's a good mark for them, but that's a fact. They got Bo Nix in his second career game. Justin Herbert missed half the game. Then they got Flacco. Then they got Prescott, who's a pretty good quarterback. Then I don't even remember who the hell it was with Vegas. It was O'Connell, I guess.
Aiden O'Connell.
Then they got Aaron Rodgers, who's okay these days. And then they got Daniel Jones. They're about to graduate to Jaden Daniels, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts, Lamar, Mahomes, Burrow. I'm sorry. That's like playing a different sport the second half of the season, right?
No question. And that's going to be the thing. How they do in these games, how this defense,
split,
which has given up a lot of run, and they're going to face some running backs. You even mentioned quarterbacks.
They they're going to Barkley,
backs.
Henry twice.
Yes.
All these guys.
Even,
I say split.
Even Nick Chubb can give them problems in again.
Nick Chubb is a shell of himself, in my opinion.
I understand that, but
I don't think he can give anybody problems right now, and I feel horrible for him.
Anytime there's a Thursday in Cleveland, that sort of backdrop is concerning.
I say split. Split your way to the season finale in Cincy. And I would be thrilled with that if I were the Steelers. Limits, you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, just because I think Cincinnati is a team that's going to take a game from you probably at home, even though the Bengals have been so bad at home until their last game. Finally won one going down the Escalusa, happy for once. But
Escalusa.
You like that one?
Bob,
that's
you
one of the best nicknames of all time for an object.
For an object, yeah.
Just
have you ridden the Escalusa?
Yes,
I have.
I have too.
It's the best way to get from, or used to be, from the press box to the locker room.
That's not an easy way to navigate yourself down there.
You go outside the press box and you ride the Escalusa down to the locker room.
Buffalo's another tough place to get to a locker room. You got to actually go outside to go back inside.
That's exactly right. Other places, you have to climb down Mountaineer Stadium. You climb into the into the stands. And climb down there. You ever done that, Bob?
I have done that. I kind of like that atmosphere down there at Mountaineer Stadium, though.
I don't know why we were talking about that. Where was the conversation before that?
The Escalusa.
The Escalusa. Yeah. Well, they finally won at home. And yeah, they're dangerous. It's just going to be different in the second half. And thank God the Steelers have a better offense to deal with this. But I'm concerned about their defense. I am. Run and pass, equally concerned about what's going to happen when they face an entirely different level of offense.
Yeah, especially, you know, third quarters of games this year, I don't think they've been scored upon. They've really done some great things coming out of halftime defensively. And then last couple of games, things have gotten a little bit more difficult, especially in the run game. But we'll see. I think all of those guys are going to be challenges for the Steelers. You mentioned the quarterbacks, but the running backs, some of the receivers involved in those games as well. It'll be the biggest test they have, all of them. Division game six, I still say I understand why they did it. I don't like six division games in a clump sum of just 7 weeks or whatever it is. I'd rather have them sprinkle throughout the season.
The fact of the matter is they haven't faced really, I don't think, a good offense yet, let alone a great one. None of the teams they faced are in the top 10. In scoring offense. The best offense they faced, honestly, is Atlanta. And I think any objective observer who watched that, it was Cousins' first game back from an Achilles after a long, long time off. And again, credit to the Steelers. They did everything they needed to do defensively to win that. But it's just a fact. They haven't played. Here's the top 10 scoring offenses. Detroit, Baltimore, Tampa, Commanders, Bills, Niners, which surprises me, Bengals, Vikings, Packers, Eagles, and then the Chiefs are up there. Although I think their defense has scored a couple touchdowns, but they're up there. you're going to be facing half of those teams in the second half, Bob.
No question about it. And all those teams and back to back, that's what makes it hard. And the schedule, with especially with that three games in, what is it, 11 days, toward the end of the year, that's a hard one to navigate. It really is. And injuries will become an issue with all teams.
And then, yeah, exactly. What you've done is you've faced the worst offenses in the league. I'll look at the bottom 10, the worst: Giants, check. Raiders, check. Jets, check. Chargers, check. Broncos, check. Colts, check. That's just the simple fact of it. So, to me, that's the biggest question about the Steelers' second half, is how this defense holds up against a completely different brand of offense.
Also, how the Steelers' offense will go against some defenses that I think are not as good as maybe people think. And I would include both the Ravens and Bengals in that. I don't think their defenses are going to be capable of totally shutting down the Steelers' offense. So that mixture of how you stop another team and how many points are required to overcome that, that's going to be a big part of this whole equation.
Bengals and Ravens, to your point, Bob, and I think it's an excellent point. You're supposed to say thank you.
Thank you, Joe, very kindly.
Two bottom 10 defenses are the Ravens and Bengals in scoring. How about
especially
that?
Throws down the field, and that's what Russell Wilson seems to do well. So, you know, we'll see. I expect pressure. I expect teams to go after Russell Wilson a little bit more than we have seen. And we'll see what they do in terms of, you know, letting guys go one-on-one. George Pickens would want that one-on-one.
All right. Well, let's get to back to the colleges as we round out here. Your final thoughts on Pitt from the other day. James Franklin seems to be the hottest topic from the other day. Lots of mixed opinions on Franklin in terms of, are you really going to do better? He brings in wildly talented recruiting classes. He wins tons of games, and then he almost never wins the biggest games.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, there are some things we haven't talked about yet today. One is the Penguinis. Man, I thought those were two big wins because your season is starting to fall apart. Even in October at that point, now we're into November, but those were big wins. Let's just put it that way. Now you have a little road trip at the Islanders. They stink. And then you two very good teams so far, Carolina and Washington. It feels like a big road trip, does it not?
Especially against teams that are good teams. And you're right, the Islanders have struggled, but Carolina, when they came here, kind of just boat raced them. And, you know, they're going to have to play that way, and we'll see what they can do. And Washington's better than I thought they would be at this juncture. It is early. But the Penguins, these are all opportunities to gain points and try to dig yourself out of this hole that they created by winning just three of their first 11 games.
What do you make of the Jari debacle?
My take on him is they still need him, and they better rehabilitate him and get him up here at some point. They can't afford any other option with him. They're not going to walk away from him. They have to get him up here, and he has to return to form. However that's achieved, I'm not sure how. Marc-Andre Fleury used a hypnotist. Our other goaltenders have done kind of radical things in order to get them their minds right.
What if he just, well, I mean, we've seen this in sports. I'm not joking. Like this, what if this is a Pedro Alvarez situation where he just forgot how
Chuck
to play?
Chuck Knobloch can't throw the ball. Maggie Sasser, something in their mind.
Seriously.
Steve Blass.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I know they got to get him. They got to try to do their best to get him back up here so that he plays at that level.
Can you look up his numbers in Wilkes-Barre so far? Oh, limitless wonder.
He's won a few games. He had a bad goal that he let up in one of the games where no one's in front of him. Terrible angle. He let it in. But overall, I think his numbers are decent down there.
All right. Where do we go with Pitt and Penn State, Bob? We open the show with this. How do you think Pitt winds up? Were they exposed the other night, or was that just running into a really talented opponent? I guess we know now why they were 7.5-point underdogs.
Never distrust the bookies. They got a feel for this kind of stuff and the odds makers. So SMU is a good team that does things in that sort of spread formation where they use their speed to a big advantage. And if you can't keep up with them, you're going to pay the price, especially down there. So, yeah, they were exposed. You don't fall down 48-11 and not be. Big plays, missed tackles, all those things came into play. But, you know, it is what they probably are, which is a team that hadn't played a ranked team. And when they did, they were exposed to some degree. Now they have a chance to rebound. They have two more ranked teams coming up. So we'll see what they do with them. And if they could win these games, it leads to a very interesting dilemma for the people with this college football playoff 12-team situation. How many ACC teams do you take if Pitt wins out?
That's a great question. I just don't think we're going to have to.
Well, you'll have Miami. Assuming Miami wins the whole thing.
And now Clemson has lost. So if Pitt beats Clemson, I mean, what happens?
Pitt beats
what happens if you have a one-loss Pitt team?
They get in.
They win out, and then SMU is a two-loss team. What do you do with that? What if they lose?
Well,
I don't think you're going to have that.
I think you'll have two teams from the ACC maximum. I think the Big Ten will have possibly four teams. That is all predicated on Penn State and what they do. They're going to be favored in each one of these games I think they have left.
That was really disappointing. It was a hell of a uniform game, though, wasn't it, Bob? The logos and the colors. I mean, that thing just popped off the screen.
It did. I just, you know, there's a lot of football left, and I think people, before they make all their conclusions of whatever they want to do with James Franklin up there at Happy Valley, we'll see. If they win these four games and get themselves into a playoff and win a playoff game, I'm sure people will have a different opinion than they do now.
Yeah, I'm not encouraged by this.
I'm not either.
I felt differently, but it seems like Eli Holstein has taken a major step back, and then I wonder about Cade Bell's offense. Like, they were in top five in the country.
But how about
scoring
the defense
early
too? They gave up 300 yards like that. You know, that's Pat Narduzzi's.
I know.
That's his thing as a defensive guy. And yet they got really torn apart in that game. So now they have to come back and take on Virginia. And if you talk about trap game potentials, or, you know, people not interested in, you know, following up, you better, because this is a team you need to win to get to Clemson first. And they made the Clemson game a noon start, by the way, at Acrisure Stadium.
I saw that.
I'm not a big fan of those noon starts.
Yeah, that felt like that could have been such a giant game. And now it feels like really not a big game at all, honestly.
Well, because Clemson just laid a huge egg at home.
Yep. What's Cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 70 today with cloudy skies. Bob, the pleasure has been all yours today.
Yes, it has. It's a pleasure to be on with Joe Starkey on The Joe Show with Austin P, City Limits, Wonder Twin.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And he brought out Wonder Twin, too.
Wonder Twin, Mr. P, they're
Twin
all coming
cities.
Out. Twins. They're all coming out today. I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Next time we meet, Bob, we'll be talking about Steelers Commanders. That's going to be
fun.
And
Ravens-Bengals, although you'll talk about it on Friday because you have that game on Thursday night. That's a big game. And if the Ravens should win, they move to 7-3, and they also have an opportunity to get some extra rest in advance of the Steelers game in Pittsburgh. And
thank
what
you,
am
Bob.
I doing? Am I going over time?
Yes, bye.
Well, you've
you,
done it all day.
Thank
yes,
you,
you've done it all day.
Thank you, bye.
Bye, you
bring
me.
Bye, Bob.
You did it all way.
Bye, Bob.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.